Hello everybody and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. This week we are talking to returning guest Bernie Kelly and we're talking about fitness for business transformation, though that title does not really encapture the amazing conversation we had. We talked about why everyone is feeling burnt out right now. We talked about how to let go of the pace of change and how to find your own place within that pace and how to sort of be kinder to yourself, as well as this amazing index that Bernie and Danette and many other people have worked on that he talks about around fitness for business transformation. An amazing conversation. It's a long one, but I think every step I was taking notes. So enjoy, and as always, have a magical week. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. Very exciting one. We've got a returning guest, which is always amazing, and we'll get to them shortly. But first, Graham, how's your week been?
Hey, Jess, my week has been good. Thank you for asking. We've spent most of the week at home. In fact, the entire week at home. We got home Sunday afternoon. Had some rain late last week, which we then lost because we had a blowout on one of the hose clamps on our main water pump. Just decided to give up the ghost at, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning. So we lost a bit of water there. But other than that, you know, the sun's shining, the birds are singing, no reptiles on the veranda, so life's pretty good.
Yep.
That's good, Graham. And Graham, did you have any, we were just chatting about it before, but I feel like it's a good one for our listeners. Did you have any fence-related events at all this week?
We did, funnily enough. So we had, one of our neighbours is running some cattle on a couple of blocks that's sort of behind ours. And yesterday morning at some point, one of them saw something on this side of the fence. They've still got plenty of feed in the paddock they're in, but they saw something on this side of the fence that looked decidedly tastier. So he just thought he'd come for a wander, check it out, and just sort of walk through the fence, part over, part through. And then one of his mates saw him doing that and thought, that looks like fun. So we ended up with 7 or 8 of them in the yard, trying to hide behind various shrubs of useless size. So anyway, and I spent 35 minutes chasing them around the yard, trying to get them out the gate, which I did eventually. It's funny, you know, they can come in one way, but it's really hard to get them to recognize where they came in and get them to go back the same way.
That'd make it too easy for you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, but no animals were harmed. Our guinea fowl were just a little bit stressed, and there were a couple of hares out in the paddock who were like, what's going on? And they bolted, but all ended well so far.
That's great, Graham. You've managed to fit in a bit of being a cowboy into a regular work week, which is pretty exciting.
Yes, let's leave it at that.
Awesome. And returning guest, Bernie, how are you going this week? How's things been?
Yeah, I've been really well and enjoying doing different things. This actually, as I pause and think about it coming into that question, this has been a bit of a perspective setting week in some ways. It was 3 years ago my then 18-year-old daughter had a stroke, and she marks that date in her diary. She's come out of it well, but still it's a life-defining moment, right? So, just the good fortune of that, and it sort of lifts me out of a lot of my day-to-day things that I could be grumpy about and go, okay, we've got a lot to be appreciative for, and just that bigger picture vibe from that.
Wow, that's a really impactful thing. And what a good way to kind of use that as a thing to sort of reset your shift also, you know, every time it's coming around, to sort of, you know, take a bigger picture look at things. That's a great way to look at it. Love that, Bernie. Already great insight straight off the bat. Love to see it. Now, Bernie, today we're going to be talking about fitness for business transformation, but we're also going to be talking about an index associated with that. So before we get right into the questions, do you want to tell us a little bit about that index?
Yeah. So one of my observations just working in this sort of space for a long time is just how, as the environment shifts, are we remaining fit? That's sort of been the opening sort of question as we sort of getting into that. And it is interesting in that space, just the awareness just such different priorities from one to the next. And that really even sort of good teams that I've worked with over the years, I've done a lot of different sports, and I use that sort of metaphor of, for me, it's a little bit like, you know, when I was a runner and I became a become a swimmer. Now, I'd been running around everywhere. I sort of running could get that, had that sort of under control. But for swimming, for me, I was a country boy when I grew up. So not drowning in our creek at home was, that was swimming. Where when you start to do competitive swimming, all of a sudden, you know, there's proper breath taking, there's rhythm, technique, going for like kilometres. And I had none of that. And just, yeah, consciously having people to train you for that different type of fitness and that sort of different adapting and being aware of the fact that that swimming is quite a different, there's different technique, but there's different cadence. I would sort of, you know, there's muscles that you never use when you're running. If all of a sudden you find out you got that, you know, you're puffing at the end of sort of quite short things. And I think that in many ways that, yeah, as leaders, we can underestimate how moving from one style of operating to another, it can be quite a different fitness level. So that's where this sort of whole conversation came in on. And then just looking at the fact that, you know, I think most people can see the difference between pre-2020 to that 2020 phase and then go, okay, well, then post this COVID phase, you know, just raising the awareness of, are we really fit for this particular phase in the bigger scheme of things?
Yeah, that's a great, I love the backstory there. And it actually does, I've just got one question before we even get into this, because I am fascinated. Was there when you did go from running to swimming, was there actually a mentality shift? How was that mentally for you?
Yeah, no, so it's a big shift, right? Because if you've been a runner for a while, there's a certain cadence you get, and there's a lot of things that you no longer have to be conscious of. Where I think we've even sort of chatted about it before, just that different mental energy when you're taking up something new and the different physical energy of that. And you can see, so I use that metaphor a lot with the people I'm working with, because yeah, if you've been a leader in an organization through one phase, but then you're actually transforming it, there's a different urgency, there's different timelines, there's different questions you ask. It's different action. So so actually just being aware of that is helpful, right? Because then I don't get frustrated with myself. I'm aware of the fact that I'm going to be not perfect at this. My swimming, you know, had to build up. Not punish myself for not being a proficient swimmer straight off. Just some of that sort of stuff is actually part of that successful transitioning from one thing to another.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think it provides a great metaphor as well, exactly what you mentioned, but just that sort of idea where you could look at them both and go, both cardio, they're both probably similar. But then when you are doing the different things, it's totally different. And I can imagine it's similar to people who may be good at something pre-2020, exactly what you're talking about. We're in a different world now. Am I still fit? I love it. Am I ready for this one? So I think without further ado, let's get into the questions here because we've got a few. So, and I might start with Graham. Graham, what was your question? And would you like to tell us a little bit about why you chose it?
I do. Before I do that, but I love the shift from, you know, running to swimming. And because I was trying to think of something really clever to say, like, so, you know, swimming really is just sort of horizontal running in the water instead of on the ground. And then I realized that that's just a dumb thing to say because there are so many other things. Yes, you have to move your arms and legs, but in a whole different way. But I think it's a great metaphor. So my question was, and Bernie, we had a quick catch up just before we sort of went live today, and talking about the fact that there are so many of us who are staggering towards the finish line, whether we believe in Christmas or not. It's just the end of the year and maybe there's a break in there for us somewhere and hallelujah because we need it sort of thing. And certainly a lot of the coaching that I've been doing, we're getting that sort of feedback from a lot of people. You know, burnout is now sort of expected in a bizarre sort of way. So my question was, how can we support leaders in this push for more? And we talk about we need more leadership, and it's not just from people who are recognized as leaders because of some title or position or authority they hold, but it really is from all of us in one sense. So in this push for more leadership, you know, more boldness, we're talking about bold leaders, which we'll come back to a little bit later, and also acknowledging that in the minds of a lot of people at the moment, they really are thinking, I'm just literally hanging on until I can get to a designated break. And at that point, there's an excellent chance that I'm not really going to be thinking about how do I become more. I just want a veg. and binge I don't know how many seasons of Yellowstone or what else is out there, you know, that idea. So I guess it was, how can we support people? And maybe part of it is, how do we create a space for them where they can dip their toe in the water around this idea of thinking that something else is possible?
It's a really good conversation, isn't it? And as we sort of touched on just before we were recording as well, I think that this is a really hot topic, and a lot of people are talking about the whole burnout, the goal achievement, adjustment, exponential change, but we're really skimming around the edges of it. And so a part of what we're doing here is actually let's jump into this and actually start to be more active in this conversation. So there's a few things that when I saw your question, I thought, well, like, it's a really good question, right? Because let's start it at the hard end of this conversation, not the aspirational bit, but the real brutal reality of just, you know, all the things we're doing at the moment and things. And there's a few call outs that I think are really useful to bring to the surface. What one is just that whole point about the perspective. And if we're talking about leading in this time, transformations don't happen in 3 minutes. Right. So actually standing back a lot. And there's a famous Bill Gates quote that's attributed to Bill, but apparently it's a number of other people have said it over the years as well. But the basic premise of it is how we tend to totally overestimate what we can do in a year and totally underestimate what can be done in a decade.
Yep.
And I just think that is actually, if you really dwell on that, it's just so useful. And I know I draw on it a lot, right? Because I'm working with some very complicated, complex sort of conundrums with leaders. And even in my own sort of development, there's a whole heap of things that I would have liked to have happened faster. Let some of that go. So actually, it's interesting, I think, in some ways that the bigger perspective of we're working our way through some stuff, some of this stuff's going to take longer, it actually gives a bit more, a better perspective to build impact. And then the other thing, there's actually two other things that I wanted to call out just on that question, though. One is, you know, you used the word boldness there. And I know I've been, you know, Danette and I have been chatting about the boldness as well. Yeah. And that even in this survey, a lot of leaders themselves are saying, hey, we probably need to be more bold as we lead into this stuff. But it's interesting with what you're bold about, because I think it's actually quite bold to confront some of the realities that we're talking about. Like, you know, and the research there, Gallup are saying, you've come across those Gallup, Gallup research. Now, in there, that's actually the recent stuff is saying that 80% of Australian, New Zealand employees surveyed are in the categories of not thriving. Right? That's actually, I'm going to be a bit bold to acknowledge that and factor that into my plans. Reflected into my own plans, reflected into my leading plans. And actually the boldness of having that as the, you know, Jim Collins uses that phrase about confronting the brutal facts.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, if you're a strategist now and you don't have that in your plan, like, interesting, right? So that's one part of boldness. I think it's easier to keep talking about exponential things and keep talking about AI and what, you know, some other shiny thing that's going to pop up in 2024. There's some boldness in just confronting that. And then the other boldness I think is a really hard one, and I definitely not judgmental because every team I work with have it, I even have it myself, is prioritizing is one of the hardest leadership tasks there is. Mm. And it is way easier to keep adding to the list, way harder to not add to the list. And I think that actually is a really, really, really confronting sort of fact as a leader. Right? Am I doing the easy take of just adding to the list, or am I being a bolder leader and saying that I can't do some of this stuff and I'm going to prioritize? And it's interesting when you dig into that that prioritization piece. I've got some actual graphs that I like sort of judge. You know, when you put up an exponential curve, like the visual impact of an exponential curve, now, everyone knows that technology is moving exponentially, right? And everyone knows you can't outrun an exponential curve. When do you become bold enough to actually declare that I cannot continue chasing this exponential curve? When does that happen? You know, how far up? And that actually, you know, I don't have an answer for that. I think that's an important question, though, to ask as you're heading into 2024.
some really, really good points in there. I'd love the idea of identifying more things to add to your to-do list as a pure form of procrastination. But it sort of makes us feel better because we're identifying more things that we need to do, and at the same time, it's making us more stressed because the list gets longer. But it also gives us an opportunity to not step into the harder stuff.
I think the other thing that's really interesting in that conversation with the adding more is that if I've been an operating leader, what I call that is like if I've been leading inside a industry operating model for most of my career, there is some mindset shifts about being a transformation leader. So as a transformation leader, there is things that I'm doing now that are going to be way less on the other side of the transformation. And there are things that I'm not doing now that are going to be way more on the other side of the transformation. Most leaders don't have a habit or a practice of calling those things out with any clarity. And so therefore there is actually an additive thing that goes on in a general sort of leadership thing. And it's interesting to me, like, you know, the McKinsey Three Horizons model. Do you know the McKinsey Three Horizons?
I've heard of it. Yeah.
Anyway, it's an additive thing. You see horizon one, and then top of that's horizon two, and a right top. And I think that even just the whole mental model of that, the whole visual of that, is actually just working harder, working harder, working harder. Where anyone who really has gone deep on transformation knows that there'll be things I'm doing now that I've got to let go of, right? And there's things that I'm not doing now that I'll be doing a lot more of. And that there's a transition or a transformation in that. I'm really quite passionate about helping teach people that, because it's not only is it different mindset, different doing, but there's some skills in there as well that a lot of teams don't, haven't necessarily had as clear as that.
I thanks, Bernie. I love that. One of the sort of underlying questions around this fitness thing is, are we still fit for purpose? And the clear answer. Sorry, I have. For those of you watching the video, I have microscopic insects threatening to devour my entire person, so I have to do that because otherwise something bad might happen. That's how I operate. This idea of fit for purpose, the short answer for most of us is no, we're nowhere near it. And I wonder how much of that is we're not really sure what our purpose is anymore. Don't know. But anyway, Bernie, thank you. I'll hand back to Jess because there are some other questions.
Yeah. That's good. Thanks.
Yeah, no, I'm with Graham. I've got so many things I could say about what we've just been talking about. One of them, I think, just for me, just my big takeaway from that kind of one, is just the permission to kind of give yourself an ability to see that things that I would have initially considered simple, you've got to give yourself permission to be, you know, either successful or unsuccessful at them. And that's a power, you know.
Yes.
I don't have to, you know, I can face the boldness of reality. Just the facts, just looking at that and being honest about that can be tricky. So I think that that's such a, like, just from that answer alone, I'm like, oh, I've taken away so many permissions to, you know, be less successful at maybe basic things because there's other things that I can also do. So I loved that. Let's jump into Danette's question, because this was Danette usually asks a sort of setting question, you know, what is fitness for business transformation, but Danette's gone a little left of center here and given us this question, actually two questions. First one is, what are some of the findings from the survey that they didn't expect? And second part is, what can businesses do to better prepare for transformations?
So one of the things I'd like to call out is, so Danette actually is a collaborator on the Fitness for Business Transformation Index, and a key part of that for me is that with this whole fitness thing, you can sort of see that actually awareness and understanding different perspectives is a key part of practicing fitness. So for me, actually having someone like Danette and other industry leaders involved in sort of going deeper on some of the initial findings we're having is really, really, really useful. So I know you're not here today, Nett, but I just want to acknowledge that. And then, So Danette and I have already spoken, so that question doesn't come from left field for me, I guess, in some ways. And it was interesting to us that it shouldn't have really been a surprise, and it wasn't really a surprise, but the people who engage in considering fitness for the next period are, you know, if you were using that fitness metaphor, they're the people who are already fit generally. in the general population, right? So they're already people who are sort of aware. They've already done, they've got a lot of good intention. They've got a lot of good track record. The people that are involved in this conversation are, they're already got a lot of good success going on, right? So that was actually, that was an initial finding. So compared to a lot of other research, a lot of the struggling ends of intention and proactivity and the capabilities wasn't showing up in the research results of this index. The other thing, I guess, is that, as we sort of talked before about the being fit for one period, not necessarily the other, the runner swimmer sort of piece. The another piece is actually, we have covered some of these already. Another one is that being able to break out the horizons of fitness. I think that a lot of people are still, there's an intellectual piece around transformation, which like is that additive horizons rather than actually that I'm letting go of stuff. And they're being really overt about letting stuff go, being a key to transformation is something that's sort of coming out. And where we're at the moment, we're sort of digging deeper with some of these deeper inquiries with industry leaders to come out for a full report in December. But where we're at the moment, I guess, is that leaders intentionally create capacity to make, to allow the transformations to happen. And that actually that many of us can still be more conscious of that, right? So that actually is a fitness capability about creating capacity for the shifts to happen. And that's individual, it's team, it's physical, it's emotional capacity, it's intellectual capacity. It's actually, it's that whole range of capacity to make a shift happen.
Yeah, that's such a, once again, great insight. I'm absolutely loving this conversation, Bernie. It's amazing. But I do want to get onto some of these other questions as well, because we've just got so many good ones, I think. As you mentioned at the top, we've got a lot of good ones today. So let's go to John's question now, which is, do the majority of businesses that think they're really good, when in fact they're not as good as they think, or are they better than they think, and why do you believe that they think that? Sorry, it's a bit of a strange question here, I'm realizing in the wording, but I guess, you know, there's a couple of ways I guess you can kind of take that question. So I might leave it to you.
I'm sort of taking that question just about our own awareness, right? And the truth is that I only know what I know. And I'm not aware of what I'm not aware of, right? And that's true for all of us on this call. It's true for all of our listeners. And I think that actually it's interesting, it's particularly in the Australian setting, whether you're talking private business or government or the not-for-profit sector. In many ways, we've actually operated for a number of decades now of sort of where it's a efficiency within existing industry models. And even if I move from one organization to another, there's sort of a way that this industry operates, where we are in a period where, with the ongoing digital transformations, the shifts in social sort of priorities, shifts in economics, all these things are sort of compounding on each other. That recent research is saying that in the 23 to 26 period, 98% of CEOs are expecting to change their business model. Right. That's quite significant. And you think when you think, oh, that sounds like a bit of a profound thing, it's quite doable, because it's actually, you know, if I've done it, and probably you guys have done it, when you think that if you were doing all live delivery, in-person delivery was your full operating model period ago, and now you've got a sort of a digital delivery model, that's shifted your how you're selling, it's shifted how you're delivering. These are significant shifts in your business model. And you've probably shifted pricing because of all of that. And so it's quite a different, it's a significant shift. And then most CEOs are saying that they're actually expecting that to change in this 3 years. And if and within that survey, more CEOs are pulling that into as the sooner part of the 3 years as they possibly can post-COVID. Right. So I think that, yeah, I always sort of talk about that in that way, that really is knowing that we're actually able to shift business models is very different to the ability to be able to just work within an existing business model and do that better.
Yeah. Well, fascinating. Very fascinating. And it definitely feels true. I'm very excited to read the full report in December. I think there's already a lot of key takeaways that I'm enjoying. So I'm looking forward to it a lot. I might jump over to Kinnie.
Sorry, yeah. Jess, can I just jump in for a sec?
Yeah, definitely.
Bernie, can I just sort of stay on that question, John's a little longer. So I'm so curious to your thoughts on whether, you know, this idea of just some business leaders think that they're better than they are, and some might think they're not necessarily as good as they need to be. How do you see the link between that and going back to the multi-attributed quote around not as we underestimate what we can achieve in
1 year.
In 1 year and overestimate what we can achieve in 10 or vice versa.
Or the other way around,
Yeah. So I'm just curious of, like, do some business leaders tend to underestimate their capacity to capability simply because they look at the short-term view, and if we can't get it all done in 12 months, then and you know, all of the AI and technology and robotics and automation and everything else just continues to sort of push a lot of thinking towards shorter timeframes. You know, one of the big things that came out of COVID and it was lauded and probably rightly so, was the speed with which vaccines were created. Because if you compare it to the last similar, you know, pandemic situation, just off the charts in terms of how long it took. So, I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on, is the short-term time frame that a lot of our environment encourages us to focus on, is that hampering our ability?
So it's really interesting when you dig behind. You know, I work with companies who do transformations, who actually are in that other sort of place. And if you actually look behind the people and the systems and the organizations that were able to, who enabled us to do all of that so quickly in that 2020 period, you know, Salesforce, Google, Zoom, Microsoft, you go back, they built those capabilities and they were there able to deliver those in 2020. And so it's really interesting. I think that this conversation that you're sort of alluding to is actually quite often, when we're on the consumer side of this conversation, we actually see the stuff, oh, that's already available for me. That's pretty handy, right? But we're not thinking about the leader who actually created that to be possible was doing something a significant period ago, and they actually built capabilities, they piloted stuff, they got it into markets, they built that capability, and that capability was sitting there, and that actually allowed, though, they had the capacity, they had the capability to be able to do some of that stuff so quickly in that sort of shift that we saw in 2020. And it is interesting that the distinction between that sort of outcomes or lag indicator centric versus lead indicator builder centric. And I think that it gives you two very different lenses on the world. And what we're talking about is, as people who are leading into conundrums and leading my industry, leading my organization, I've got to be using foresight and building towards that rather than so that actually I'm able to deliver in that sort of future space.
Which also presupposes that I'm creating some space.
Myself. Yes, it does. Totally does. And so that's part of the personal conundrum of a leader, right? Because the pull to the urgent is massive.
Yeah.
And if I'm actually just, and if I get caught in that reactive piece, and this is not a new thing. Covey sort of talked about it. I think the Eisenhower Matrix talks about it. You know, am I working on the important, or am I being dragged to the urgent? And we all know that, without being conscious of it, I'm dragged to the urgent. That's just human nature. So a part of this work, which is actually challenging, is actually being intentional and going, well, what am I trying to do? Where am I trying to go? Right. And therefore, how do I create the space to get to that place? And that actually does require intention. It requires
which also requires a lot of self-awareness. Because if I'm not I'm not consciously aware that that's where I'm being pulled, I don't have the opportunity to say, well, hang on, no, my intention needs to be this way.
And as you're sort of pointing out, right, the busy mind, if I'm back to, so there's actually some really sort of tactical things that get in the way of this. I mean, if I'm working with short deadlines and I fill my diary up back to back, it's counter me becoming a transformative leader. It's counter me actually leading. There's a great quote we actually talk about in the preliminary report of the index, from Servant Leadership, a 1972 sort of quote, where he actually talks about, like, you know, foresight is the lead that leaders have, and that once the leader loses this lead, they, you know, events start to force their hand. They're leaders in name only. And it is interesting that that reflection in this space, right? Because if you go, well, there's a tension there because I am getting pulled into the proximate, but if I don't be self-aware, if I don't create space for foresight, you know, am I really a leader?
Mm. Great point. Thank you. Cheers.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah, I love that. That the conversation's been so good, and Graham, great insights today. I'm loving those as well.
That's really good.
Yeah, I might go to mine. This was just a little thing that I noticed while I was reading through the stuff that I thought was fascinating. This may be a common thing that people know about, but I was definitely interested in the concept of it, which was that you mentioned that there's three type of people making it happen, watching it happen, and wondering what happened.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you could expand on what these types of people look like in a business.
So to give it that due, you know, the due reference there, it's a Nicholas Butler, who was a university president. It's a 1932 quote, but it's a really fascinating quote when you think about the decade that's going on, right? Everyone knows this, the 2020s, the world is shifting, and like the 2020 world versus the 2030 world, we all know is going to be very, very different. How that plays out, that's the question, right? So it's really interesting, that sort of phrase in that sort of bigger picture, that there are those making it happen, watching it happen, and wondering what happened. And in this conversation I've been having, most of the people that are in this conversation, most people listening, you know, being proactive enough to listen into your podcast, let's give ourselves the credit. We're probably not the ones who are wondering what's happening, because we are sort of trying to be aware, trying to learn, right? But then it's really interesting to me, the watching it happen and making it happen. And the easiest way to think about that in my mind is if you think back to, you know, the quote in the arena from Roosevelt, right? So that's people who are making it happen versus watching it happen. In the sporting metaphor, a player can make it happen. A person in the crowd can yell at that player to make it happen, but they're just watching it happen, right? Yeah, and if you play that out in real, we can talk about all sorts of topics that concern us in the world. But am I actually in the making it happen, or am I in the watching it happen? And then I think picking up on what Graham was talking about there before, that conversation is a longer term conversation. Like, actually, am I leading in? Am I doing the work? Because these are complicated topics, complex topics. Am I doing the work now that is going to make something happen in the future? And am I influencing the future? And that's where that sort of foresight insight comes up really strongly as well. Like, am I doing the work now that will be impacting a result down the track? Am I creating this industry to be resilient? Am I creating the society to be better? Am I doing the work that's going to make an energy transition happen? Am I actually improving at the health system? You know, am I actually making a viable and sustainable economy for our nation? You know, these are things that aren't going to be solved in the short term, right? So am I doing those actions now that are going to have that happen? Is the making it happen?
Yeah, so good. Well, yeah, thanks for explaining that. Because when I saw that, it just really resonated with me as, you know, I think I've been all of them, you know, at different times.
Yeah, we all are, right?
but it was fascinating to kind of frame it in that way. I thought that was really interesting.
And I think if I was to dig into that a little bit deeper, Jez, I think I think most of us would like, on topics that we care about, would like to think that we're in the making it happen bucket. The awkward piece on personal reflection, but I think on reflection for a lot of other leaders as well, is the fine line between my intention and my doing gap. Like, I would like to identify as a making it happen, but then am I? when I really have a good hard look at myself. And that actually, you know, that actually is a reason why, one of the reasons why I'm sort of so driven in this conversation here. How do I actually lean into this way more? Because I think that that intention doing gap is a really easy place to be trapped, where nice people, well-intended, but you look at what they're doing from year to year and you go, well, no, you just observe that. You just observe the industry going that direction. You just observe that topic moving along. Other people were either making it happen or not making it happen, but you were just knowledgeable about it.
Reminds me of the old, and I can't remember who said it originally or where it came from, but the old thing about bad things happen when good people do nothing.
Yeah.
And you know, Bernie, you're talking about that sort of fine line between it's like today, you know, so I'm immensely grateful for the opportunity to have a conversation with both of you, but is a conversation enough?
Yeah.
And I suspect the answer is no. At some point it needs to be more than that. You know, we can literally sit around and talk about stuff forever, and on so many levels as a species, that's exactly what so too many of us have done for so long. So I do like that idea of, you know, that marriage between intention and action. And starting the conversations is a great place to start, because we have to start somewhere. But yeah, you're right; it needs to be more.
Yeah, yeah, and it's interesting just the accountability of being a maker or like a player versus a spectator is. I think it's going to play out over this decade, right? Because there's lots of people, we've got leadership titles.
Yes.
But essentially, the industry that we're leading may not be any different or better when I leave it. So. Well, I was a watcher in that case.
Yep.
And that's so there's a little bit of a projecting that forward, I guess, as people are heading into 2024. Am I going to be watching 2024 move, or am I going to be making 2024 move, is an interesting reflection.
Amazing. Well, that was great, Bernie. I was really hoping for a tiny bit, but it ended up being a great conversation again. Let's jump into Kanika's question here. So Kanika asked, are there any general philosophies or mentalities managers can take away from this index that they can apply to be more ready for the next decade?
Yeah, well, as we've been saying, I think that, so the answer is yes. But my slight edit on the wording would be actually fit for this decade, right? We're already in it. This decade's already on the move, right? And it's already, everyone knows it's significantly different to what it was in 2020 already. So this decade is on the move. So I think there's some urgency around that, and there's a few things. So one, I guess, is actually just to going back to some of the stuff that Graham opened up with before. I do think that it's worth acknowledging and celebrating the work that we've worked really hard to get up to where we are, to have the problems we've got today, right? So let's actually be appreciative of that and acknowledge that. And I think that's one of the important principles of not just flogging ourselves forward, but actually a little bit of appreciation and acknowledgement of where we're at. But then also just that the awareness of, you know, there's a lot of conversation about disruption and evolution and just the sort of pace of that. But even understanding sort of evolutionary theory, and just that, you know, there's that quote by, there's a quote about the sort of that if the change on the outside is happening faster than the change on the inside, then the end is near, by Jack Welch. You know that quote? And I think that just the awareness of that is actually a major piece that I think is a general useful to remind us as managers. And have you, Jez or Graham, have you heard of the Red Queen effect in evolutionary theory before? So the Red Queen effect, or it's called the Red Queen effect, and it relates to actual biologists, but it's interesting to apply it in the business sort of sense. So there, you know, the Alice in Wonderland, Jez, remember that? And do you remember how Alice sort of met up with different characters, including, like, there was one of them was the Red Queen, where they went running everywhere, and the Queen, they're running on the spot and going nowhere. And the Red Queen sort of said to Alice about how sometimes you can be really just running really fast just to go nowhere. And it is interesting with understanding how exponential trends work and understanding the evolutionary process works, that things go faster and faster, and actually just keeping up can feel like a lot of hard work. And I think that that actually raising more awareness around this sort of conversation, that just following this exponential curve unintentionally, unconsciously, is actually taking us up a massive path. Now, we're not talking about that enough in the business world. We're just talking about how we're burning out, right? But we're drifting on an exponential curve. It is going to get harder and harder just to keep up. So I think that actually one of the really things is actually, so therefore, when do we start to have this conversation? Drifting on an exponential curve. It is just harder and harder. So therefore, how do you start to be more wise about that, which goes back to that loop we were talking before, creating space, being considered, being more discerning, selecting prioritization, all that stuff. You know, when is that going to become the main game for you as a leader?
Yeah, amazing. And Bernie, it's so funny that you were mentioning that, where it's, you know, trying to even just keep your head above water nowadays, it feels like it's getting harder. I was having this conversation an hour ago with my partner. We're talking about this exact thing, which is just, you know, how...
Well, you
how
can tell her about the red queen effect now.
That's it, exactly. Yeah, so that's amazing. That's come at the exact right time. Well, let's jump into Allegra's question, which is the final one here, which is, are there any traits in employees that bosses and managers should be on the lookout for if they want to transform their business?
Yeah. You know, the obvious answer, and the sort of just straight off the top of the head answer really is just to be continual learners, right? However, I reckon because we're a thinking crowd here, let's dig a little bit deeper, right? If you dig a little bit below that, there's actually the other thing that's really interesting. If you start to look across all these strategic cycles, and if I was thinking like a surfer catching waves, that's what these sort of strategic cycles are like, and that catching each of those waves, you know, when you do go surfing, you can feel the energy lift you up and it transports off. But then you also know that sometimes you're actually flustering around, you're not catching the wave, and how hard a work that is, right? And I think that actually thinking about that sort of wave things, these waves are coming through very, very quickly. And making sure that the people are, and even just being aware of the fact that I'm not for every wave, and neither are you, and neither are they, right? So therefore, actually sort of being, as a leader, nearly by the time you've formed a team nowadays, you've probably formed that team for the criteria of the last wave. So being more conscious of that, actually continuing to check in that as this external change is going, is this wave still right for you, Graham? Is this wave still right for you, Bernie? Is this right? Because really, that actually is a critical piece, right? Because your talent might have been magic for the last wave, and it's not actually fulfilling for you or fulfilling for us to have you on this next wave. How do we have that more proactive conversation? And I think digging in there, do you remember Jim Collins, one of his insights, the author of Good to Great, one of his insights was that all of the chasing companies actually had a lot of morale boosting type of campaigns, but the great companies didn't have any motivation programs. Have you remember that one? Well, you may. Yeah, it's an insight out of Good to Great. And so the great companies not having, it took them, the researchers of that Good to Great book, a little while to sort of see it, but they actually saw that really great companies don't motivate people. They create the space for motivated people to be doing their best work. So the more that we can be sort of doing that, but also knowing that it might not be, this wave isn't going to suit Jez for 40 years. Maybe, you know, how do you actually keep checking in that you are a continual learner, but that there's also that you're matched with, you know, doing your best work in this particular wave.
Yeah, love it. It resonates a lot with me. It's, you know, I think even in this sort of like very briefly, even in just like this most recent history, the upgrade from audio podcast now also adding video elements into it as well is like, you know, that's added its own whole thing. And now there's, you know, that whole space is changing. So I'm constantly learning. I feel like every 3 months, some new feature is being added that I'm trying to see how we can kind of use it. But I think it's, so we've done all their questions now. I might go to Graham. Graham, did you have any final thoughts today on the conversation or fitness for business transformation as a topic?
How long we got, Jess? Bernie, thank you. It's been great to have you back, and what an important sort of suite of topics to dive into. The three horizons thing from McKinsey, the thing that popped into my head partway through that was the three questions we use a lot in coaching. What do I need to keep doing because it's working? What do I need to stop doing? What must I start doing?
Yep.
I love the wave analogy, the whole surfing thing. And, important conversation for how do we create a space for people within an organization to feel okay about talking about that sort of analogy, because like it's so obvious for so many of us that not only did we miss the last half dozen waves, but we've got no idea which wave is for us or how to get on it. So it's I love the visual of that as well. The Red Queen effect, it also triggered something a good friend of ours said a few years ago, and this is pre-COVID. He was talking about people being too terrified to stop, but too exhausted to keep going.
Yeah.
And so, again, how do we create a space? And I'm not asking for an answer, but it's just that thinking out loud. The need for us to hold some heat under these conversations. And at some point start doing a lot more than that. But I guess if I can just wrap up with going back to that whole fitness for purpose and is this wave for me and can I actually get on this wave and do some good out of it? Clearly, this is not just about people who have authority or title or positions or power in organisations. This is just about human beings, full stop. Doesn't matter where you are.
Yes. Yeah, and I think that links back so much to that, like we wonder why our current system of business leading has those thriving scores or the lack of thriving scores that Gallup call out, where you think like if you're catching waves and you've got that energy underneath you, there's a whole different vibe about that and you actually feel like you're being the best version of yourself. You actually feel pumped up, even if you have to have a hard working day, it's sort of part of it.
Yep.
So actually, as you're saying, Graham, I think this is an individual conversation, not just a leadership conversation. You know, how do we actually make sure that we're doing our best work, leaning into that, being more selective?
Because ultimately the whole idea of business transformation can only ever happen if people inside the business or connected to the business transform. Otherwise...
Well, one of the fascinating things with business transformation, we love to talk all the technical stuff, right? At the end of the day, businesses, organisations don't transform. People do. And so even at the core of every successful transformation that sticks, wasn't the X trillion dollars of technical stuff. It was actually the people who changed how they work.
Yeah. Yeah, because they were also the ones who can sabotage the thing.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Bernie, thank you again. Really appreciate you being. Great conversation.
Yeah, and Graham, thanks. Great insights today. It's been, we only had three people, but it felt like a full-on, full-blown, real, like Brady Bunch style, so many questions, so many answers. I loved it.
The three most important people.
That's it.
And don't share this link of the recording with your mum.
Bernie, I wanted to say I've taken so many notes as well, but there's so many things. I think for me, so many of these things are just simplicity things that, in this age of things are getting more complicated, give yourself permission to sort of just get simple things right. And if you can do that, you're sort of setting yourself up. And a big takeaway for me is just how important prioritization becomes as things become more complicated. That's a big one for me. But Bernie, I wanted to grab your final thoughts on today's conversation and fitness for business transformation.
I think that the big thing is about creating the space and taking different actions. Really just drifting and working harder is not a smart strategy. And adding things on top of your existing workload, maybe you can get away with it once, twice. When do you stop? So actually, it's a real call for just being more discerning as leaders. And it is interesting, I know that there's so much pull for leaders to be busy. I'm part of that myself. I get sucked into that myself, just like anyone else. But actually, if we're not creating the space, no one else around us can. So how do I actually be better at creating space? How do I actually be, living this is actually my big takeaway. Yeah, that sort of question.
Amazing. Well, Bernie, it's been an amazing second episode. Before we go, though, we definitely want to, if people have been listening to this, they've gone, wow, that's amazing. I want to contact Bernie and I want to learn more. Where's the best places for them to reach out and check this out?
Yeah, my two sort of best places would be at my website, berniekelly.com. It's got all my contact details there and I give a lot away there. Also, LinkedIn is probably the platform that I use the most, and I do share weekly articles. I'm giving away more tools in this space than I have been probably ever before for facilitators of this, because I think that there's some getting this conversation up, there's a lot of structures we can sort of make that facilitate that a lot easier. So giving away a lot of that on a weekly basis at the moment.
Fantastic. Well, those will be in the link in the description, so you can go check those out right now. Amazing stuff. I want to thank Graham and Bernie for what an amazing conversation. I've had a great time. I've taken away a lot of insights. And to everybody that's been sharing the podcast, our listenership's been growing very nicely. So thanks, everybody. Enjoy this episode. And as always, have a magical week.